Tappers, what's up? I told you, I was like, you know, we're only going to be doing a podcast if the Bucks make some moves. And guess what? They made a move. They get Nikola Mirotic, a.k.a. Nico, a.k.a. a Bucks killer that has come to the good side, a.k.a. he didn't go to fucking Philly. Awesome move by the Milwaukee Bucks. So we're going to get into it. We'll also dive into the Gasol deal a little bit on this tapping or daily tap NBA trade deadline special for February 7th. Hope you guys are excited to talk about it. I definitely am. We will have a weekend watch list tomorrow. So I will be doing two podcasts in less than probably 5 or 6 hours. Not a big deal, right? So the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday made a deal for Stanley Johnson for Thon Maker. And we thought, all right, you know, not that bad. That's okay. Like, change of scenery, like, get another wing. That'll be all right. And then they flip Stanley Johnson, Jason Smith, and a bunch of second rounders for Nico, for Nikola Mirotic. That is what they did. Unfucking believable, John Horst. John Horst, have my children. Like, it is John Horst and David Stearns having a pissing contest of who could be more awesome? Like, John Horst is a guy who everybody shit panned. I remember I was going to a golf outing, listening to local radio talk about, I have no idea what the Bucks are doing. The Bucks are so over their heads. The ownership's going to run this guy out of town, and he's going to be their yes man. And all John Horst has done is put his big fat dick on the table and said, how do you like me now, motherfucker? That is what John Horst is doing. He is a beast. This is just, I can't help but love it. Like, look at this shit. John Horst basically has turned John Henson, Matthew Dellavedova, Thon Maker, and a first into George Hill, Nico, and a few second rounders. And $25 million in cap space. Like, are you not entertained? This is amazing. He is just making great move after great move. And they didn't have to give up a rotation guy to get Mirotic. I get that he is a rotation player. I get that he's on an expiring contract. But still, I mean, Mirotic is probably one of the better bench players in the NBA. I mean, the guy is routinely averaging around 14 to 16 points per game. Like, it's not like he's a scrub. And how you do not ask for a guy like DJ Wilson or Sterling Brown if you're rebuilding? Like, why don't you ask for Sterling Brown or DJ Wilson? That, to me, makes the most sense. And I don't know if the Bucks would have parted ways with DJ Wilson, to be honest with you. And I don't know if they would have with Sterling Brown either. And but John Horst, they may have started there. And John Horst is like, nah, you know, he's expiring. So why don't we just give you a bunch of draft picks and a couple guys who don't really matter? Okay, yeah, we'll do it. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, Jason Smith was a corpse. He barely played on the Bucks. Kind of forgot Jason Smith was a thing. And Stanley Johnson had literally a cup of coffee. I don't even think, did Stanley Johnson make it to Milwaukee? Did his agent tell him, just hang out for a little bit? Might have a deal coming up for you. So, unbelievable. Mirotic is going to be just a monster for the Bucks. He is a dead-eye shooter. He's not as good of a three-point shooter as I think people think he is. Like, he's a good shooter. He can make it. He can rain threes. But his average, he only averages about, you know, 36 to 35%. He's definitely got up to 39%. He was 42% before the Bulls made the move to trade him to New Orleans. But he is a good shooter. He's a scorer. He can get buckets. He's averaged over 10 points per game all throughout his career. He's averaging, you know, around 8 rebounds the last 2 years as well. So sneaky good from a rebounding perspective. 80% free throw shooter. Not to be one of those guys who's just reading stats, but you can see that Mirotic has a lot of value off the bench, especially. And a guy who can really work with a small ball lineup where he's playing the 4 and Giannis is playing the 5. And what we've seen from the Bucks is they're at their most efficient when Giannis is playing the 5. And they have a lineup now that can pretty much compete with anybody when Brook Lopez isn't on the floor. I don't think we could have said that literally a day ago. Like, I don't think a day ago we could have made the claim that, yes, this team has what it takes to do it without Brook Lopez. So, yes, the Bucks are going all the way in. So, just like the Sixers, they're going in. But they didn't trade any bench guys for it. They didn't trade a Landry Shamet to get Nico. And, you know, yeah, Tobias Harris probably better than Nikola Mirotić. But still, you could have got Mirotić and you know, been okay, especially with the defense of Embiid. So the Philly's loss is Milwaukee's gain, and everybody loved the deal. Brian Windhorst called it a grand slam for the Bucks. Bill Simmons called it a steal. Milwaukee's been touted as a winner of this deadline. There is nothing you can, I think, hate about this. Like, I don't know if there's a quibble. I mean, yeah, are they kind of out of money to get a buyout guy? Yeah, it doesn't look likely that they would get a buyout guy because they don't want to get into luxury tax this year. So a buyout guy probably isn't happening. I know there are some people who are like, get us Bees and get us Greg Monroe. Bring him back. First of all, no way on either. Zach Randolph, to me, I think, is just weirdly interesting. Get Z-Bo a ring. I'd love to get Z-Bo. I've always been a big Z-Bo guy. Just to have Z-Bo on the bench talking shit, I'm here for that. But the Bucks don't really have the money for a buyout guy. So if you wanted to quibble, if you wanted to criticize, they don't have money for a buyout guy, that's fine. I'd rather have our rotation and our roster than get some new guy off the kind of the heap. And I get it that the other teams kind of don't, you know, do the buyout thing. And buyout thing has worked out. I mean, it's been a successful venture of the NBA. It's kind of the new, I don't know, it's kind of the new, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not like a market value, but it's definitely something that a lot of successful teams have taken advantage of. But yeah, I just love the idea of Mirotić with this Bucks roster. How can you not, right? He can hang out in the corners. His defense, which has been a major issue for him, the Bucks can hide that. And I really think they're a good enough defensive team without him that they can, or there's a guys that can make up for it. Middleton's a decent defender. Bledsoe's had a really good year on defense. Giannis is a bona fide defensive player of the year candidate. He won't get it. It'll be Paul George or Kawhi, but he's going to get votes in the defensive player of the year category. So you have all of those guys who are on your starting lineup. That Brook Lopez, another guy who's a better defender than expected from a shot blocking perspective. He's averaging like 2.5 blocks per game. So it's really not like, you know, you bring this guy on the team and it's going to make the defense significantly worse. It's fine. They're just going to tell him to jack. He's a big corner three guy. You know, Coach Budenholzer loves corner threes more than I think I love beer. Like, he just loves corner threes. So, and Nico is a big corner three guy. I don't have his heat map out, but he loves that three pointer, that corner three. It's kind of his shot. So we'll see. I mean, he is a guy, as Simmons kind of noted, like, he can give you 29 off the bench in a game four of an Eastern Conference final, kind of out of nowhere, and put the team on his back. So I am all in on this. I'm all in on the Bucks. I think if anyone's worried about what the Bucks are going to do next summer and worried about how they're going to handle Bledsoe and Middleton, I don't think you have to worry about that with John Horst. I did also hear a rumor, or not, I saw something from a guy, and I really shouldn't mention it, but some Racine writer was like, that Eric Bledsoe was in trade talks. Literally no one fucking said that Eric Bledsoe was in trade talks. Literally no one. I could not find one other person who said Eric Bledsoe's rumored to be traded. Tony Snell was also mentioned. But literally, he was the only one. He was a man on his island. That's funny how that happens, right? It's funny how you just have sources who think Eric Bledsoe's in trade talks. Get better ones, baby. Get better ones, our Racine friend. All right, so the Raptors did also make a deal. So the arms race in the East is heating up, as everyone said. You know, Tobias Harris to Philly, Bucks getting Nikola Mirotić. The Toronto added a foreign player as well, getting Marc Gasol. And not to, like, this to me, I'm very interested that Toronto did this. I think that Gasol's a really good player, but I think he's lost a step. I don't really think Gasol is that good. Like, I don't mean, like, why did the Raptors make this seismic of a move? Why didn't they go after, like, and granted, he's a buyout candidate, but why did they go, and he's going to go to Indiana now off the buyout, but why didn't they go after Wes Matthews? Why didn't they go after another bench player to really help them? Like, I don't know how Gasol fits in. Like, I'm more terrified with their lineup featuring Lowry, Van Vliet, Kawhi, Siakam, and Ibaka. So now are we going to take Van Vliet out of there, play really big, and have Ibaka, Gasol, and Siakam on the court together? I really don't think they're too slow, right? That to me seems like just a recipe for disaster. Like Siakam, I'm not putting Siakam in the Giannis category, but he is kind of a Giannis-like player in that I don't really think he could play a three. And the Giannis was classically uncomfortable playing that three position. I really don't know how this is going to work from a rotation standpoint, especially down the stretch. You know, is Gasol going to come off the bench? Is he going to be a bench player? I don't really think you'd make Marc Gasol a bench player. It doesn't seem like that. I mean, yes, he's a great passer. Yes, he can still deliver some big moments, but he, to me, does not feel like a guy that I'm too worried about. And I think if you are worried about Marc Gasol, I think you're thinking about 2016, 2015 Marc Gasol, not the one that's playing right now. He's pretty slow, man. And so I'm okay with it. Maybe it's my cocky bravado. Maybe it's because I'm feeling damn good about John Horst. But I would rather have Nico over Gasol any day of the fucking week. And also, too, if the Bucks and Raptors do meet in the playoffs, just remember, Brook Lopez took his lunch money in both matchups, bringing him out. And Gasol couldn't do anything with Lopez out on the three-point lane. It's a massive problem. So what? So if he would he just be a non-factor in the Bucks series? Who knows? So I'm not a huge fan of it. The whole Laker thing is really weird. Just a couple other deadline notes. The Laker thing's weird. I love John Hammond getting Markel Fultz. So on brand for Johnny Hams. I really think they might have overpaid, but he was number one pick. And so I think you kind of have to pay, even though the guy's been broken. We'll see if maybe Steve Clifford can fix Markel Fultz. And John Hammond sort of, I wouldn't say has his Giannis, but this to me feels like a Giannis-like move for Hammond, where he feels like he could get a superstar and then build around a guy like Fultz and Bamba and Aaron Gordon, a couple others that the Magic have. So I think for the first time in a long time, the Magic have a little glimmer of hope. I there's some teams you just kind of want to see better. And the Magic are one that have been just in futility for so long. Like, just, like, same with the Hornets. Like, I was kind of bummed the Hornets didn't get Gasol because, you know, they've just been such a shit show for years. It's like, just get Gasol, get to the playoffs, like, feel good. That's all right. Detroit getting Mike Conley would have been in that same vein. But, yeah, no. I don't really like the Pistons. I've never really liked the Pistons. I don't know. So is that me? Am I alone, Todd? Is that because the championship teams are such a bore to watch? Like, why don't I like the Pistons? Answer me that question. Okay. Weekend watch list tonight as well. We're going to double it up. We'll have that out probably 11 or 12 o'clock if I don't old man fall asleep. And if not, it'll be up in the morning. All right. Take care, guys. Enjoy your night. John Horst, the goal.